your favorite artists. Let me bring a little love to your Saturday mornings that will last you all day long.
That's your report of the noon news. I'm Pat Parker along with Tracy Morgan for this report today. It's Your Turn. We'll be up next.
WISR now presents It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey. Dave is off today, so we have a special guest host. It's Your Turn is Butler County's only live call-in talk show. You can join in the conversation by calling 724-283-2525. And now, let's join It's Your Turn and today's special guest host.
Well, happy Monday to you. It is 12:30. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave, and I'll give you the show lineup in just a moment, but everybody is wondering, when is Dave coming back? All right, so we've had word from Dave that he is going to return on Wednesday. So Wednesday you should be able to hear Dave in the morning, and then of course he'll be here with you in the afternoon for It's Your Turn. So Wednesday is the big day for Dave to return. So we look forward to his return, and he can talk to you at that time. All right. So this is the show. Oh, I wrote a note to myself. Wait, I'm looking at my list that I have to tell you. The tree chucking that we were talking about last week, Kayla and I were talking. The tree is off my porch and it's gone. So there you go. I walked in this morning. The very first thing I said to Kayla, besides good morning, was, Kayla, the tree has gone off my porch. So she smiled at that. Wanted to let you know that the tree chucking is now done. So that's good, and we're set to go with that. All right, the show today, broken up into three different sections. We're going to have multiple guests throughout our time together. We're going to start off with the symphony. We'll get to them here in just a moment. And then at 1 o'clock, I have the Penn State Extension. I hear a lot about it, but I don't know if I really know too much of the details. So that's what we're going to talk about, that overview of who is the Penn State Extension and what do they do. So we're going to talk about that at 1 o'clock. Then 1:30, Chef George is going to be in here with Tanglewood Center. I believe he's going to bring along Bill Reichardt, and we're going to talk a little bit about music and some music that's coming to Tanglewood and Tanglewood itself, and that will be at 1:30. So we got a full show for you today, but welcome, and I'm glad you're with me. All right, so we're going to start off with the Butler Symphony today. And, of course, the maestro is here, right, Matthew Kramer. Matthew's on the phone with me today. Hi, Matthew. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. Always great to join the program. Glad to be here.
I'm glad that you're here, too, because you have a wonderful event that is just around the corner. And I have a few questions just about the symphony, but first let's talk about your next performance, about the stars, if you will, planets. Tell us a little bit about this.
This is really a trip through the cosmos. Not only this coming Saturday, but even next month, we present a sci-fi program. So there's really two different concerts here sharing the same theme. But this weekend, the symphony plays one of the most popular works that we have in the repertoire, Gustav Holst's The Planets. And you know, we commonly refer to in classical music those pieces that everyone knows, even if they don't know classical music. And that's certainly the case with The Planets, because this is music that's been used in commercials and in movies. Mars, the bringer of war, always seems to be in every documentary about war. And Jupiter Movement is also very, very popular. So it's about a 50-minute large-scale work for the orchestra. Our audience will see more musicians than we've ever had in the orchestra just to play this piece. It really is spilling out over the stage just to get the group together to be able to play this masterpiece. So the whole program is really focused on the cosmos.
Where are they coming from? Who are the additional musicians?
Well, we're hiring not only in the Pittsburgh area, but we have musicians who come from Erie and from Ohio as well. So it's a really close-knit group of people, but our personnel manager has to find a few extra bodies to take up some of these instruments, like the bass oboe. I mean, who even knew there was such a thing as a bass oboe?
Right, yeah.
There's, of course, the contrabassoon and the bass clarinet. We have a tenor tuba, which we rarely use in an orchestra. and a lot of additional brass players, too. So it really is an exhilarating piece to listen to and to watch the musicians on the stage.
So the bass oboe and also the tenor tuba, are they made differently than the respective instruments that they're associated with?
Well, they're just larger or smaller, depending. So the oboe is the smallest instrument in the oboe family, and then there's the English horn, which is a little bit bigger. It's got a deeper sound, more mellow. And then the bass oboe is just, you know, the bass instrument of that particular instrument, but it's rarely used in a symphony orchestra. The tenor tuba is just a smaller tuba, also called the euphonium. So those instruments appear in wind ensembles, like bands, occasionally. But in the symphony world, it's pretty rare. So Holst wrote this piece with specific sounds that he needed, so he added these instruments in order to realize that.
So tell me from your perspective, when you're up there conducting and you hit one of these particular songs that you know we know, but you know the official name, do you hear the audience behind you and their reaction?
Oh, yes, occasionally. I mean, certainly the piece opens with Mars, which has a very persistent rhythm, which, again, everybody has heard from, you know, some kind of war documentary, or it appears in movies regularly, that you can, on occasion, hear a moment from the audience when they realize that something that maybe they had heard for years but just never knew what the name of it was. That'll also be the case in April when we close our season with Carmina Burana, this great, very powerful work for a chorus and orchestra. Well, the first movement, O Fortuna, is used incessantly in commercials, and even see it for on ESPN from sports commercials. So I think when people identify something that they hear regularly but they don't know the name of it, there's a sense of discovery, and it's certainly a fulfilling experience. But for us musicians on stage, we just love playing this music.
It's fun to be able to watch an orchestra or a band, but in this case, the orchestra, play pieces like that and be an audience member, because in a sense, as an audience member, I'm visualizing where I think that music comes from, where you know it a lot deeper, and you have, do you have a relationship, if you will, with this music?
That's right. You know, we can enjoy music just to allow it to wash over us. You can certainly enjoy it, you know, without a whole lot of examination of the score or playing an instrument. That's what's so spectacular about this art form, is that if you just sit there, you know, after a busy work week and just listen to the beauty or the power or the majesty of the music, you don't have to have a deep understanding of its, you know, structure or to analyze it in depth for it to be a personal experience. Now, of course, if you play an instrument, then you might have a little deeper understanding of how all of these things are put together, how the instruments of the orchestra work together in order to create the sonority. But the musicians, we all, like I've already mentioned, come from different parts of the region, come together, and most of these musicians have played the planets on a dozen occasions at least. So for us, throughout the week, it really is a journey of rediscovery of this masterpiece, and we enjoy all the hard work that goes into it to put our performances on.
And if somebody hasn't played a musical instrument before, I always say just try it, because you'd get a better appreciation of how hard it is just to play an instrument, let alone read, because you have two different styles of music. Well, there are plenty of styles of music, but you have different clefs, bass clef and treble clef, and so it takes a while to understand what you're reading and what you're doing.
That's right. I'm constantly encouraging people who are no longer children or even teenagers that you can always come back to an instrument that maybe you played in your childhood. You can always take piano lessons. You don't have to be 8 years old to sign up for piano lessons. In middle age and in your older years, it could be a wonderful hobby to take on. Many people who don't have a background in music discover musical instruments when their children sign up for lessons, because you're kind of there from the very beginning. I can speak to my parents, who are very diligent and dedicated in taking me to every violin lesson. And moreover, they endured those first couple years when the sound out of that instrument was just atrocious. I mean, the sound that a violinist gets when they first start scraping the bow across the string is, you know, not what you hear from our professional musicians. And that's all part of the learning process, is that, you know, your mind starts to talk to your fingers and you become more fluent and you get better and you can see the progress. So there's something to be said about studying a musical instrument and the numerous studies that have been conducted on the benefits of academic study by learning a musical instrument are prevalent. So it enhances really every portion of your life, I think, the study of a musical instrument.
And Matthew, I don't know about you, but I played an instrument myself. My kids play instruments. And for me, when I hear them not quite hitting what they need to hit, it's not so bad. Just because you know, you appreciate, and you remember, yeah, I was back there at one time, so it's okay.
You certainly have a great perception of it, because that's absolutely right. You remember what it's like to be a student. And that's what is so valuable about learning music, is that we are never done. We're constantly studying. We're constantly working on ways of improving ourselves, so it really is a lifelong discovery.
And when you hear somebody get it, you get so excited when they finally got the beat or they finally got the note. But let me ask you a little bit more about the program that's going to be on February 3rd, because you not only have the symphony there, you have the women's choir from Slippery Rock University, don't you, performing?
That's right. This has been a wonderful collaboration through my tenure with the symphony, which is now in its sixth year. Our relationship with Slippery Rock University and Stephen Barr, who is the director of choruses there, he supplied us with some very some wonderful singers over the years and some wonderful memories as well. Most recently, we did a Beethoven Ninth Symphony with him 2 years ago in his chorus. Our audiences will notice that Stephen Barr's name appears twice in this program, because in addition to preparing the women's chorus for the last movement of The Planets, which is Neptune, they sing off stage and have this very ethereal, mystical kind of sound. They don't actually sing any words. It's just ooze that they sing, which gives it a very much like a siren call quality. But Stephen's name also appears as a composer on this program, too. He's a very gifted composer. And in keeping with our cosmos theme here, he's written a piece called Penumbra, which is an effect of when the moon passes on the opposite side of the earth. He's written a piece for euphonium and orchestra entitled Penumbra. So he appears not only as a chorus master, but as a composer on this program.
So I understand you're going to perform all nine movements of The Planets, but what does that mean to somebody who doesn't understand the nine movements?
In this particular case, there are the seven that Holst wrote for, because this is one of those great musical anecdotes, is that Earth, he did not write an Earth movement. And then the issue of whether planet Pluto, which hadn't been discovered there at the moment. So what we have is Mars, Venus, Mercury, and then after Mercury we go to Jupiter. Jupiter goes to Mars, Mars to Uranus, and then finally with Neptune. So with Holst, it actually doesn't have anything to do with the planets themselves, but more of the association with astronomy and the certain characters of each of these Roman gods. So, for example, Mars is the bringer of war, which is why the music sounds so militaristic with its snare drums and incessant rhythm. So this is a real stamina test for the orchestra in order to play this entire piece. As I've already alluded to, it's 50 minutes long, and there are a lot of notes and many different moods that the orchestra has to be able to shift from this kind of violent beginning to Venus, the bringer of peace, which really you have to be like an actor to shift gears so dramatically from one mood to the other in order to make the music effective. So luckily, it's a staple of the repertoire. The musicians are very familiar with it. Many of them will have played it numerous times, so putting it together isn't that much of an obstacle, but it is like a marathon. You have to be able to get through the entire piece with the proper endurance.
When you say get through the entire piece, is this 50 minutes of continuous music, or is there a break in between? Is there an intermission, or is this one piece?
This is one piece through and through. All of the movements of the seven movements are broken up, so you do take a little bit of a break in between each movement. The woodwinds, many of our audience can't see the woodwinds through the string section, but they'll often take their instruments apart and swab them out to clean them out to make sure that they're ready to go for the next movement. String players might adjust their bows, for example. I'm usually wiping perspiration off my brow, just because it is such an athletic thing to be able to conduct, you know, this entire work. So we do take a little breather in between, but there is no break. We go 50 minutes straight through. From an audience perspective, that might sound like a long time, but you know, it's no longer or shorter really than a symphony. This is the average duration for many pieces that are from the late 1800s, early 1900s.
Well, you could also compare it to exercise. It's a difference between walking for 50 minutes or running for 50 minutes. I mean, there's a big difference.
There is a big difference there. And also, I think that, you know, the first half of the program is relatively short. We open with an overture by a Danish composer named Carl Nielsen. It's called the Helios Overture, which he wrote on a trip to Greece when he was watching the sun rise over the Aegean Sea. So that still keeps with our Cosmos theme. And the concerto that Stephen Barr wrote is really only 10 minutes too. So the first half is very short with an intermission, preparing our audience then for the planets after that. And, you know, we sit through movies that are sometimes 3 hours in length. So 50 minutes, relatively speaking, is not that long.
So, Matthew, again, I'll just review this for the folks if they want to go, but tickets are available at the Symphony office, 259 South Main Street. Of course, on the website at butlersymphony.org, or you can just pick up tickets at the door. Prices are $23 for adults, $5.50 for students, which includes college students. So just keep that in mind, too, if you have some college folks that would like to go. And what I wanted to ask you about, Matthew, is your pre-concert lecture. I've never been to one of these lectures, so I'm interested on how you run it, and then what will people be able to learn on this particular session?
Well, these have become very popular over the last 6 years. When we first started them, when I came on as music director, we had a handful of people who were at the concert early, just wandering in to see what it was about. But now we get over 100, sometimes 200 people that show up ahead of time just for the pre-concert lecture. What it really is just a 30-minute talk. I share musical anecdotes, historical information, some of my own personal experiences with the repertoire on hand. We have our guest artists there. For example, for this concert, Stephen Barr will be joining me to talk about his new work, which is being premiered by the orchestra. We'll have the euphonium player who plays on Stephen's piece join us there, Tom Mahofsky. So we'll be able to talk to the guest artists, learn a little bit more about them and what they're going to be playing. In addition to, again, that historical information about the pieces, I play musical excerpts from all of these works that we play. And it's just a chance for those in the audience that are interested in learning a little bit more about what they're about to hear. As I mentioned in the beginning of the broadcast, we have many people who just enjoy coming to our concerts and just listening to the music. They just allow it to wash over them. But others who really want to know more than maybe they know already or what's in our program notes. So it's just, you know, anybody who's there at 6:30 that wants to come in and just listen to me talk for 30 minutes, you know, we've had a lot of enthusiasm for this.
I want to ask a couple of more questions on this next performance, but anything coming down the road that you can tell us about?
Well, I think that anybody that enjoys this theme that we have, the Cosmos, again, to come back and join us the first weekend of March, because we continue with this with the sci-fi theme on March 3rd. We're playing some of the greatest film scores from sci-fi classics. And I will go ahead and share with our audience, if they didn't know this already, that the entire second half of that program will be dedicated to Star Wars.
Oh, of course.
One of the immensely popular franchises in history. I'm amazed by this because, of course, I grew up with it. Not only the first three, but I remember when those prequels were put out. And now, of course, there's a whole new generation being introduced to Star Wars. Through this latest, every year they have a new Star Wars movie now. And, of course, the composer, no introduction needed. John Williams is a giant in film music history. He's the greatest living film composer that we have. Every year he breaks his own record for most Academy Award nominations. So we're presenting his music from The Force Awakens and from the classic Star Wars as well. In addition to music from Star Trek, not only the old movies and TV shows, but we also have music from the new Star Wars, new Star Trek, rather, franchise. And then Close Encounters of the First Kind, Back to the Future, and several other sci-fi classics will be on that program. So that's what we consider to be pops programming. No classical music on that, just music that is from motion picture films, and of course will be immediately identifiable to our audiences. Ending our season in April with Carmina Burana, the, I would argue, in some cases, the most popular piece of classical music that there is. You will recognize a great deal of that from popular culture. That requires a large chorus. Again, Stephen Barr is preparing that for us. We have three great soloists coming in. We have the winner of our Young Artist Competition, who is playing the second Rachmaninoff Piano Concerto. And we open that program with a Mozart Magic Flute Overture. So, we're only halfway through our season now, but as you can see, Tracy, we have a lot of great music coming up.
Do you already have your winner of your Young Artist Competition, or will that be announced soon?
It'll be announced in our program book, yes, but the winner has been selected, so that'll be a big reveal that we have coming up this weekend. It'll be listed in our program book.
Oh, good, good, good. And one question going back to, like, the movie themes, because just one note, and it does, even again, as somebody sitting in that audience, it just fills you with joy. You know, it's just fun to know what's coming. And one of those favorites, do you ever get individuals or a group of people that say, oh, you didn't play X, Y, and Z, like one of their favorites? What's a highly requested piece that you don't get to play all that often?
Oh, that's a great, great question, because I do get asked frequently, oh, I wish you'd play this, or can you play this? And sometimes it's quite abstract. I had a concert, for example, here in Indianapolis on Saturday night, and somebody came up and said, I wish you'd play the music of Leos Janacek. Well, who's ever heard of Leos Janacek that isn't a classical musician? But he's a favorite composer of mine, but you know, most people, he's not a household name, so that struck me as quite odd that somebody from our audience would ask for that composer. Other cases, yeah, we do get a lot of requests for film music, specific films. Star Wars will always be immensely popular. We did a John Williams program 2 years ago, which sold out, and we had a lot of Star Wars reenactors that just volunteered to show up in costume. Excuse me, we'll have them again in March. There are actually societies all around the country of people who are Star Wars enthusiasts, and they will go to any event that features Star Wars, and they'll come in costume, whether it's Darth Vader or Stormtroopers or Ewoks, you name it. They will be there, as they will for our concert on March 3rd. So that's one of those that's always being brought up. I'll play more Star Wars or more John Williams. He's immensely popular, and there's a reason for that. It's great music.
You only need two beats of the Darth Vader theme, and you know what's coming, right?
Worldwide, everybody knows that rhythm. You're absolutely right.
Absolutely.
Which I will share with you the connection here, because that rhythm is very similar to Hulse, the Mars movement. And John Williams, he's gone on record, his music is very much connected to the great Western classical music tradition. He was influenced by these great composers like Holst, like Richard Strauss, and the movie. What makes his movie music so effective is that it does have this incredible symphonic quality to it. So you're right, the Darth Vader theme, very similar to Mars.
So we're talking planets. We're going to be hearing about planets, if you will, on Saturday, February 3rd, for the show. If you'd like to go, of course, we'll give ticket information again here in just a few minutes when we let Matthew go. But, Matthew, in the program, I see the biography for Tom Mahoskey.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us the connection there?
It actually is through Slippery Rock University. As a Slippery Rock University alum, they are bringing him back in. This piece was specifically written for Tom by Stephen Barr for his instrument, the euphonium, which is a tenor tuba, basically a handheld smaller version of what you think of the big tuba is. And so Tom is being brought back by Slippery Rock University. I think he's got some activities planned there with the music students at Slippery Rock, and he'll be in rehearsals for us. So he's coming back to Western Pennsylvania. I think he's based in Texas now. He's very highly regarded, a very fine musician, a very fine euphonium player. And so we're delighted to highlight this ongoing collaboration, which has been so fruitful with not only Slippery Rock University, but also with the symphony.
If I can ask you, you don't have to answer, but out of this whole piece that you'll be playing this weekend, what is your favorite section of the whole entire piece? Do you have a favorite planet?
Oh, all seven movements of the planets, I got to be honest with you, because they are such character pieces, changing dramatically from one to the other. It's a masterpiece. It really is through and through.
Just give us your final thoughts. I'll let you go. Then I'm going to go ahead and review the information for folks on how they can get tickets.
Yes, it's travel through the solar system, and that's been making the news here. We have a blue moon, I believe, or some lunar
super blue blood moon. Yeah, super blue blood moon is on Wednesday.
So, and I programmed this purely without that knowledge. So this is just a wonderful coincidence. Get your astrological fix here by coming to the symphony and enjoy this incredible orchestra that you have.
Matthew Kramer, music director of the symphony, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Tracy.
Have a great day. And folks, if you do want to go, let me review on how you get those tickets. We're going to let Matthew go there. All right, so the tickets for the symphony. Again, this is going to be a trip through the planets. And when we say planets, yes, it's going to be through all of them. If you're looking at Venus and Mercury and Jupiter and Saturn and Neptune, and it's kind of funny because if I'm sitting in the audience, I would be the one to say, oh, that's Mercury's song, you know, And so they know the ins and outs of this music, and they do it so well. So if you'd like to go to the performance, then the tickets are $23 for adults. And then if you're a student, and this would include college students as well, it's going to cost $5.50. So a great, great price for students, or if you have students in one of the schools too. So $23 for adults, $5.50 for students. And that pre-concert lecture is going to happen at around 6:30. And so that's going to be the time that you can go in there. And then, of course, the performance at 7. So it's a great opportunity to see the symphony. Thank you very much, Matthew, for joining us. Let's see. I'm just looking to make sure. Oh, the symphony, butlersymphony.org. I knew I had it somewhere. So tickets are available at the symphony office. They are at 259 South Main Street. If you want to go to the website, it's butlersymphony.org, or if you're like me often, I just go to the door, get the tickets at the door. So you can grab the tickets at the door if you'd like, and then enjoy. All right, so we are close to 1 o'clock. We're going to take a quick break here in just a moment. And then at 1 o'clock, what we're going to do is be joined by the Penn State Extension. And I'm glad we're talking to them, because we've done news stories here with WISR, and we talk about the Penn State Extension, Penn State Extension, Penn State Extension. Well, what is it? What is it, and what do they do? We're going to go through that at 1 o'clock with our guest, and then at 1:30, Chef George will be in. Also, Bill Reichardt should be in as well. We're going to talk a little bit about entertainment, a little bit about music, and what's coming to Tanglewood and the Tanglewood Center. So we will get to that at 1:30. It's just about 4 minutes till. We will take a break, and we'll come back right after this. I'm Tracy Morgan, in for Dave Malarkey with It's Your Turn.
If you're thinking about buying a car, truck, or SUV, or even if you just bought one, make sure you check out the great rates at Armco Credit Union. Through February 28th, you can get a 36-month loan on new and used vehicles for as low as 1.24 APR. We'll even refinance your loan from another financial institution. It's never been easier to join, so call today or visit armcocu.com for membership and rate information. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is federally insured by NCUA.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location downtown Butler to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
The Butler Radio Network Marketing Department specializes in helping local businesses grow through cost-effective, targeted advertising. With the right audience and enough frequency, your advertising dollars can provide a tangible return on investment. Our goal is to make your job easier by providing radio for every lifestyle, meaning with unique radio formats, we can reach enough of the right customers to positively impact your business. The secret formula for advertising success comes down to this: what you say times how many times you say it. Call us today for more information or visit our website at butlerradio.com and click on advertising. The Butler Radio Network family of radio stations. We live here, we employ here, we spend our money here, and we'll help your business make more money. I'm Kathy Gregory Steiner, and I love what we do.
Music is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer, and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America,
Let's do lunch.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey. It's close to 1 o'clock. And Dave should be back at his show, I think, on Wednesday. That was the latest that we heard. So if you are looking for Dave to come back, just give us a couple more days together, and he will be back on the program. And so what we're going to do is we're going to see if our guest is joining us at this moment, because we're going to talk about the Penn State Extension, and we're going to go from there and talk about the Penn State Extension, what it is, and what it's all about. So we'll talk about that here in just a moment. I was trying to find some wacky stories for you today, and I didn't find any wacky stories. I found one that was a little – I never even knew what this was. It's a tree kangaroo. I thought, he's so cute, because you got to look at him, though, because I know for all the visual radios, we have nothing to show you. But you can look him up, because he is a tree kangaroo, and he lives in Rhode Island, and he's 23 years old today. So just the picture is what grabbed you, the little big eyes. It's like a dog walking up to a camera, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, look at the little eyes. So, yeah. So Paul is 23 years old today, so congratulations to him. All right, 1:30 this afternoon, we're going to be joined with Chef George and also Bill Reichart. They're talking about Tanglewood Center, the entertainment that's going to be coming in there, and the most recently scheduled event, if you will. We're going to talk about that in just about a half an hour. But right now, what we're going to do is talk about the Penn State Extension. And with me is Craig Conforti. Craig, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Tracy. Thanks for inviting me on the air today.
It is nice to have you. Thank you for taking the time. And it's interesting that you're on with me today, because I was just in a conversation. We kind of live in farmland. So, you know, we're in a conversation and somebody mentioned Penn State Extension. And then we do stories here all the time that say Penn State Extension. And I talk about it like I know, and I don't. So I'm glad you're on with me to explain. First question is, what is the Penn State Extension? What do you do?
Excellent. Well, I'm glad to hear that we're having those conversations out in the public. So what Penn State does is we're a modern educational organization, and we are dedicated to delivering science-based information to people, businesses, and communities. We do that through providing face-to-face and online education to our customers, and we try to do it when they want it and where they want it and how they want it, to help address problems and take advantages of opportunities for improvement and innovation. We do that by partnering with federal, state, and county governments, and we try to have a long tradition of bringing unbiased support and education to the citizens of Pennsylvania. And really focus on engagement at the local level, so that we can bring more, you know, widely to customers connecting in this digital landscape.
Well, it's the benefit of your local, if you will, local information that we then understand when things hit nationally.
Exactly. And that's, you know, through the areas that we cover through Extension, a lot of people think, you know, Penn State Extension is through agriculture and agriculture only. We do that, of course, horticulture, animal systems, food safety and quality, just to name a few. But we also do energy and entrepreneurship and community development programs. And we focus on food, families, and health as well.
So first of all, let's talk about you. What do you do with the Penn State Extension? What's your job? And then why are you so passionate about all of this?
Well, so my official title is Client Relationship Manager. So I am supposed to serve and do serve as the ambassador and face of the organization locally, and I'm here to develop long-lasting relationships with customers and key stakeholders in my area, which is from Beaver County all the way up to Erie, so and that includes Butler County. And my job is to match priority issues in the counties with the need of our organizational products and services. And that can be a wide variety, like I said, the different programs that we cover. But you know, the main focus is to grow our customer base and work with the key stakeholders in the county to be able to provide those services. And the reason why I'm so passionate about extensions, I come from a 75-acre farm. I grew up on that farm in Beaver County and currently manage a fruit and vegetable CSA on the farm. And I've seen how the economics, especially with farming, has been tough, especially for small farms. And Penn State Extension is really focused on trying to help that collaboration. A good example of that is a project that we're doing in Butler County, and it's a regional initiative between Beaver County, Lawrence County, and Butler County to provide an incubator. And it goes beyond agriculture because it's trying to focus on between entrepreneurship and downtown revitalization and trying to find the key that's there.
Now, when you say incubator, I think of an incubator. Are you talking about something different, or are you talking about an incubator?
Well, incubator is a term to have people come with an idea, and there's organizations that help them grow that idea. And then the whole idea is to put it out into the community so that there's becomes a functional, real business that provides employment, provides jobs, and provides services to the community.
So can you share with us the ideas that are being shared right now between Butler and Lawrence County and the few that you just mentioned?
Yeah, what's happening right now, and there's actually an event that's happening in Slippery Rock Friday the 2nd. And this is the fourth innovation and entrepreneurship regional meeting. And it's on place-based entrepreneurship. So I spoke about it a little bit, about the connection between entrepreneurship and downtown revitalization. So the idea is hopefully these incubators, and they're right now in the planning stage, but as they get up and going, can put people that have ideas coming from either our colleges or just individuals in the community, and they can start these programs and then be put into downtown areas that might need revitalization, and start kind of turning the economic engines in our downtown areas.
Craig, when you mentioned that you have a host of counties, you have about seven counties that include Butler County that you deal with, mm-hmm. Are the priorities the same, different? I know you have many scenarios that you run into, but since we're all Western Pennsylvania, I would think that we would have similar needs. Or is that not what you see?
There's some areas where we have similar needs, but there's also areas that, you know, in a seven-county area, it's a diverse population. So some of the rural areas don't have a lot of the same issues that some of our communities that have a more urban downtown, like the old river towns here in Beaver County as well as in Butler County, have different needs than, say, Crawford County. Where they have a more rural or maybe are looking to develop more of a 4-H-focused program.
Now, you do have 4-H, so let's talk about 4-H first, the youth development. What do you do if somebody is looking to develop, as you just mentioned, or if they're looking to enhance what they already have with 4-H?
Well, what we try to do there is connect volunteer leaders with different clubs. So in Butler, there's an active robotics club and a travel and interstate exchange club and also a clothing and textile club, and that's just to name a few. But the whole idea there is to get individuals who would like to volunteer their time and provide that mentor relationship with children to expand their knowledge and also to teach the future leaders of tomorrow.
There's something else in front of me that I'll ask you with your help. Is it agronomy? I don't think I have that right.
Agronomy.
Agronomy. Thank you. That's why you're here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So tell me what that is.
So agronomy is focusing on crops and soil and pest management for farms. And the agronomist is really working hand-in-hand with local farmers to provide that, again, that science-based information.
to say what would be the best non-traditional soil amendments, or what would be the best organic crop production basics, all the way to entrepreneur budgeting and, like I said, pest management for corn and soybeans, small grains, and other things. And actually, Butler County recently, through the commissioners, they saw a need at a few meetings where farmers were actually coming into the county commissioners and asking them to fund an agronomist position in Butler County Extension. So for the first time, if I remember correctly, it's the first time in the history of Butler County, there's going to be a full-time agronomist located in the Extension office. So that's amazing that the commissioners saw the need and took the requests from the public and translated that into putting some dollars to be able to help the local farmers there in Butler County.
And so where would that individual work, in Butler County or at a different Extension office?
No, he's working in the Butler Extension office.
Oh, okay. So he's representing Butler in Butler and working here.
Exactly. First name is Justin, and he's excited. He's a young guy, has a lot of passion, and I've met him a few times, and he's ready to help. I know that he's been putting out some information to see what farmers in the area of Butler County are looking for and what he can help with. So.
Craig, if you don't mind, I ask, you mentioned pest management, and you also mentioned organics almost in the same sentence, if not in the same sentence. Do you deal with that a lot? Do you deal with organics primarily as the primary solution for farmers, or do you deal with chemicals and organics? And is there a way to be able to financially afford organic solutions for these crops for farmers?
It depends on the farmers, how they want to go about farming, really. There is a way to be able to afford doing it organically, but that has to make sense for the farmer in the style of crop that he is, in the business model that he's trying to execute. So if somebody does want to lean that way, then Penn State can help them achieve that goal. For somebody who wants to do it the more traditional way, then Penn State does classes from, so you have to be certified to be able to apply pesticide. So Penn State does do classes to be able to certify farmers to be applicants of pesticide. And we do that also for local governments and any organization that would be willing to, or that would be wanting to explore pesticide.
So you don't necessarily promote one side or the other. You just are there to give the information if a farmer would like to manage their crops in one way or the other.
Exactly. Yeah, we are. We're science based, so we don't take sides in that. We don't advocate one way or the other. And we're here as an instrument to bring information together and to help out local farmers or ag businesses or local communities on any of those subjects. But our position is definitely not to take a stance on one way or the other. We're more here as an organization to help.
Craig Conforti with us with the Penn State Extension. We hear a lot about the Penn State Extension, but we're just introducing this to you. If you've never heard of it, reintroducing it to you if you are familiar with it, and covering the basis of what the Penn State Extension is all about. And Craig, there's something, again, another term in front of me. It just says animal systems. So what encompasses animal systems for you?
So it could be anything from a cow finishing operation, where we would be finishing steers, and being the next step would be the slaughter facility and to an end user.
Mm-hmm.
Any type of a commodity, an animal commodity.
So then let's talk about energy, because I do find it fascinating that Penn State Extension has such a wide range, because when you do hear Penn State Extension, you do think farming, and yet you go into other realms, and energy doesn't seem like, and maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like a whole different industry than farming.
Yeah, it is. But it's something that, again, landowners are coming into contact with, especially, as you know, in Butler County, with oil and gas drilling operations. And Penn State has done classes on signing leases, giving the information out there so that landowners can understand their rights. They've also done classes on environmental factions of that, making sure that there's clean water and making sure that we are training stakeholders from officials that should be watching the gas and drilling industry to individuals who are also protecting their own water as well.
Craig, are windmills of interest in this particular area? And I ask that because I go across the state, and you might see here, one there, or a small grouping of them. And then I do go across Ohio to another location almost into Indiana, and right in the section that I go, right at the border, if you will, between Ohio and Indiana, there's a wind farm there that just seems to be miles and miles and miles worth of these huge wind generating machines, just windmills. Mm-hmm. Is that something that's of interest in this area, or what's the status of windmills here?
You know, that's something that I don't really know too much about. I know in the center part of the state, you know, there's some windmills at some of our higher, some wind turbines at some of our higher elevations. I've seen a few studies here locally that the wind just doesn't blow consistently enough to be able to make it economical. I'm assuming that something like that is when the technology starts getting a little better. I could see that possibly being part of the energy puzzle here.
And that's a good point, because we have a lot of hills. The area that I'm speaking of is flat land. I mean, you just see, again, the horizon for miles away.
Yeah, and I think that topography plays a part in that. I mean, like I said, I'm not quite sure, mm-hmm. but I do know that as you go out west, there's more, you know, of course, more flat land and more ability to generate electricity that way.
Craig, how do you help people with the food, families, and health program that you have?
So one of the key parts of the food, families, and health is called Nutrition Links, and the Nutrition Link program offers free nutrition education programs to participants who are eligible for public assistance. And the point of that is to develop the knowledge and skills necessary to achieve a healthful diet on a limited budget. And so we have educators in the extension offices who would go out and do classes, and they would include some hands-on activities and cooking demonstrations to reinforce the learning process. And then we have some data that demonstrates the effectiveness of the program impact on participants' behaviors in food selection, dietary intake, and management of resources and food safety. And you know, there's definitely a correlation there between healthy eating and healthy families and families that be able to take that nutrition and have the ability to, you know, use the food and nutrition educational program and the supplemental nutrition assistance program known as SNAPs to the best of their ability to make sure that they're using the best of those resources. And that's something where we've seen a lot of people who've taken those classes and have spoken both on the county level and even in the state level, speaking to our elected officials and have talked about the value of the program. And it's nice to see that effect on our population.
Do you help people understand the difference between the pyramid and the plate? Because I chuckle that I went, okay, now we're doing something different, which I understand the point of folks being healthy and understanding, you know, how much we should be eating. Because we've switched to a plate method, I guess you could say, haven't we?
We have, correct. Yeah, and it's, Participants are taught how to make positive changes to achieve the good nutrition and health, and control portion sizes, which was a part of that plate, and practice food resource management skills, and also a key part in that is to practice food safety, especially in preparation and safe storage and handling. And I think one of the goodie bags that is passed out after the completion of the program is like a thermometer for meat testing, and also a thermometer to make sure that your refrigerator is working properly and keeping food at a safe storage.
Let's move on, because I know we only have a few minutes left with you, and I want to make sure that we cover as much as we can. I'll ask you about volunteering here in just a moment, but let me ask you about the entrepreneurship program. You did mention that at the beginning of our program. And how do you get folks involved in being an entrepreneur? How do you encourage them? Because being an entrepreneur can be very tough.
It can be. It can be very daunting. And that's where programs like Penn State Extension and making sure that we're connecting people to the right groups that would be able to foster. So if somebody has an idea and they have all this paperwork that they need to complete and a business plan and other things like that. And so we try to connect people with those resources to be able to be fostered and helped. And one of the things with this event that's coming up on Friday, and like I said, it's from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., and it's Friday, February the 2nd. And the location is in Slippery Rock University at the Russell Wright Alumni House. The whole idea there is to have a discussion between entrepreneurship and downtown revitalization. And then there's a gentleman, his first name is Ken, I think it's Ken Bonus, who runs the new co-working space called Connect Work on Main. And he's going to be one of the speakers this Friday. And so that's a Butler County individual that's going to be speaking there.
Yeah, we talk with Ken quite often, so it'll be nice to see that he's going to be there and be a part of this. And Slippery Rock, in my opinion, has done a fabulous job with revitalizing their downtown from years ago. It's just a whole different place from when I was a kid.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And that's a nice collaboration of efforts. And to see the value in revitalizing a downtown. And something that I always say, if you look, and this is more of a civic kind of or urban planning kind of idea, we have problems with our infrastructures in our downtowns. It's expensive to replace our infrastructure. So, in fact, it's cheaper to go out into the rural areas and build new. However, if you look down the line 30 years from now, we're going to have the same problem. So we're creating another area where we're going to have infrastructure problems in a set amount of years. So if we can spend a little bit extra and revitalize the downtown, we're also preserving the rural space, but we're revitalizing a downtown area and being able to put more shops and local businesses back into our downtown community and help create a better local downtown area.
Craig, I want to ask you about your volunteer opportunities because, again, it's a great time to spend with you understanding the Penn State Extension. But a lot of folks are out there and some would like to volunteer for a certain organization. They just haven't found the one for them. So what opportunities do you have?
Well, the one that I'd like to spend a little time on is our Master Gardener program.
Please,
and the Master Gardener program, first of all, it's an amazing program. You go to class. They teach you the basics, and you just learn from other gardeners, other master gardeners, about how to plant and take care of the plants that you have planted, and how to make a butterfly garden or a pollinator garden. And there's like, for example, in Moraine State Park, there's a native plant and butterfly trail that's being taken care of and planted by the Master Gardeners in Butler County. And there's seven or eight different ones. In the Cranberry Township Municipal Building, there's a demonstration garden. At the Slippery Rock Parks and Recreation, there's a demonstration garden. And how to go about that. So you volunteer by contacting Butler County's Extension Office. And the phone number is 724-287-4761. And the extension is 226. and speak to April Redmond. She is our Master Gardener Coordinator for Butler County. And I spoke earlier about the training course. There's an initial 40-hour training, and then in the first year you have to volunteer for 50 hours. And it's an amazing opportunity to make a difference through beautification in Butler County.
And again, give us that phone number one more time for April.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So the phone number is 724-287-4761, and the extension is 226.
And you mentioned flowers. Do you have vegetables as well? Do you have vegetable gardens, or just is this a flower garden?
They do vegetable gardens. I know, trying to see here which one.
I'm just saying the tomatoes I try for, you know, upteen years now, I'm never successful. And so we need to know how to grow these things. And it's funny, I say funny in a good way, but every time you talk vegetables to somebody, everybody has a solution on how to grow vegetables, how they can become bigger. So if you have master gardeners there and they deal with vegetables, can we come and learn about that? Can we volunteer with that?
That's true. Yes, they do. And then they even, I know that they operate a hotline during the growing season, so that way if a bug is attacking your plants, your tomatoes or what have you, you can call into the office and the master gardeners will try to work you through it.
I love that. I love that, yeah. So let me ask you just for you to mention the others, because we only have about 2 or 3 minutes left with you, of just other ways that you can at least volunteer through Penn State Extension.
And so 4-H is always looking for volunteers. Anybody that has any expertise in something like robotics or sewing or there's different community clubs, there's animal clubs. But anything along those lines, the 4-H'ers would love to have some volunteers. And then there's also different farm visits and crop trials. There's also an organization called Prosper. And so that organization, the background there is it's a partnership model, and it's actually in its third generation. And it's for collaborative research and program implementation between schools and our land-grant universities like Penn State. And so the whole background there is to work with local staff in the schools and make sure that they are it's a loose-knit group of local residents, and it's mainly based on intervention.
See, and I'm glad you mentioned the energy before. You just mentioned robotics there, talking about the 4-H clubs, because even though I did mention that it seems like a whole different industry when you really think about it, it all does wrap back into the technology that farmers will need and do need right now as they continue to grow their crops.
Definitely. You see more and more innovative applications, especially in the robotics field, to be able to help farmers. I mean, as farmers spend more time or less time in the fields, I should say, you have drones that are being used in different applications to be able to watch things from cows out in the range to crops to make sure that there's not certain areas of crops that don't seem to be growing like the rest of them, which would implicate that there is a some type of fertilizer application that's needed. But and as we progress in our society, robotics are going to be more and more prevalent in all types of applications.
Absolutely.
So, being able to have 4-H'ers learn and especially learn from individuals that are in that field currently, it's a wonderful opportunity.
Craig, how do we get a hold of Penn State Extension? Where do we look online?
So online, if you just type in, you can Google Penn State Extension Butler County, and that provides the local page. And right on there is a menu. And in that menu is a drop down, and you can get anything of the areas that we covered, from animals and livestock all the way to youth, family, and health. So that provides a nice online source, and there's classes that you can take. There's a lot of material that you can read, and it's very pertinent to depending on what you're looking for. Another thing that we've been trying to do today, and it's kind of taken effect for the last 6-7 months, is to personalize your experience with Penn State Extension. And if you click that tab, and you can, it says subscribe today on it, you put in your information, and you click on different areas that you are interested in. So it can be anything from growing mushrooms to beekeeping to volunteering in your community. And if you click on those boxes, Penn State will generate emails and will send them to you and give you the information on different classes or seminars. So it's a nice way to get the information directly tailored to you.
Absolutely. Craig Conforti with the Penn State Extension. Craig, thanks for taking some time today. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Really a great time. Love to spread the word. And anytime that anybody has any questions, you know, give a call to the Extension office, and we'll do our best to answer them. And, you know, I look forward to working with the community.
Thanks, Craig. You take care. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Tracy. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right, folks. So it's just about 1:31. We're going to take a short break here. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Chef George. George is going to bring along Bill Reichart and, of course, Tanglewood. And Bill's just a wealth of knowledge about music. And so we're going to be talking about music for a bit and Tanglewood and the music and the activities and the entertainment that will be coming in there. We'll be right back. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Mullarkey with It's Your Turn.
I know your pet is much more than just a pet. Your pet is truly a member of your family, one of you. So when the time comes, when it's time to say goodbye, your pet, that family member, deserves respectful care. If you choose pet cremation, which so many have, consider the impeccable, sensitive, local service that's provided by Butler Pet Cremation and Glenn Thompson Miller. We'll make this pledge. Your pet will be cremated individually in our impeccable facility here in Butler. We assure you that the cremains are assuredly your pets and your pets alone. Before you make your decision, ask how others do it. Individual cremation? Maybe not. Bring your pet to us or we'll come to your home. So when the time comes, tell your veterinarian that you prefer Butler Pet Cremation and Glenn Thompson Miller. He's a pet parent too. Call us, 724-287-3707, 287-3707, Butler Pet Cremation and Glenn Thompson Miller. Thank you.
Whether you're a competitive athlete or a weekend warrior, any injury that keeps you on the sidelines should be treated by a sports medicine expert. Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers offers sports medicine specialists right here in Butler to get you back to enjoying the activities you love. Doctors Rob Waltrip, Josh Szabo, and John Richmond have trained with some of the biggest names in orthopedic sports medicine and use their expertise to treat you. Tri-Rivers accepts most major insurance plans, including both Highmark and UPMC. Learn more at TriRiversMSK.com. Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers, partnering with the Butler community for more than 20 years.
Blue the dog here for propane. Making the rounds with my owner, the propane man, has allowed me to see a lot. I may just be a simple dog. I didn't attend the elite boarding kennels, but I do know that propane fuels the independence of millions of Americans with clean, reliable energy and powers modern appliances from tankless water heaters to high-efficiency furnaces.
Brought to you by the Pennsylvania Propane Gas Association and your local propane service providers.
Curious about the world around you? From politics and gardening to unlocking the secrets of longevity, experience Mind Matters, a free series created especially for baby boomers and beyond. Mind Matters is a series for older adults to watch, learn about new things, and then engage with their peers. Contact your local senior center for more information. To locate your nearest center, visit aging.pa.gov. Again, that's aging.pa.gov.
Small things can have a big impact. Join the Butler Radio Network as we collect warm, new socks for our Socks for Seniors campaign. Throughout the month of January, we'll be collecting socks that will then be distributed to local seniors. Over the years, we've seen firsthand how the gift of a simple pair of socks has brightened the day of many seniors in the Butler area. Help us warm the feet and hearts of our elderly neighbors during the cold winter months. Socks of all types, styles, and colors can be dropped off at the Butler Network Studios on Pillow Street until January 31st.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? When a tornado is tearing through town? Or a hurricane strikes? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to the show, Tracy Morgan. I just picked up my water, Pat, and now I got to put it back down. Thank you. It's 1:35. Pat has his hands up back there like, it's not my fault. All right, so Dave Mullarkey is out today. He is scheduled to be back in on Wednesday, so you can look forward to his return, and he'll talk to you at that time. He'll be on his morning show and the afternoon show, and so it'll be us together for the next half hour, and then we'll cover again for him tomorrow. So tomorrow's program, we'll get to that tomorrow, so we won't worry about that right now because we have quite a few guests in the studio with me right now. Chef George is here. Hi, Chef. How are you?
How are you? Thank you.
Good. Nice to see you. And we've been talking about Bill Reichardt. He's in today, too. Hi, Bill. Nice to see
you.
How
are you, Tracy? Good to see you.
Good to see you. You're my I need you in my back pocket when I need to know what I need to know about music. So you're the man. But we also have Susan DeLuca in, her husband Henry. But Susan, you're the singer of Pure Gold.
Yes, I am.
And Henry, it's so nice to see you too, because you are a busy man producing some things for PBS, and you are the manager of Pure Gold.
Yes, exactly. And speaking of PBS, we just taped another show last month.
Oh, you did? Good.
Called Doo Wop Generations.
Okay.
With some young people singing our songs, plus the original artist there. It's going to be fabulous. And it's going to air in March.
So tell me how that feels when someone else does your song. Are you a little nervous? Do you wonder how the outcome is going to be? What do you think?
Well, TJ, you know, who has created these shows, put together a, not quite a contest, an audition online.
Mm-hmm.
And auditioned hundreds of young artists and picked those who can really capture the sound of the recording. And when you hear the young man who does the Johnny Maestro stuff, you won't believe it. And Johnny Maestro, I mean, no one is as good as Johnny Maestro,
yeah.
But this young man really, really comes close. And so no, there was no fear from anyone. Or
it was
anything.
Thrilling, Tracy.
It was nice
really,
to hear.
Really good.
Some
of these artists are tremendous, young and tremendous.
Absolutely.
In fact, he drew... There were two young brothers
mm-hmm.
who sang Robert and Johnny, and these young brothers were from South Africa.
Oh, wow.
And they didn't sound like Robert and Johnny because they had these South African accents, and their cadence was a little different. They sort of modernized it. In
mm-hmm.
fact, they had ripped jeans and little jackets. They were adorable, and it was just so refreshing to know that our music is heard as far away as South Africa and that these young kids revered it.
Absolutely.
And there was another group who came from... Sicily.
So tell me, as the singer of Pure Gold,
mm-hmm.
When I talk to other speakers, I try to tell them to feel the moment, feel the moment, feel the moment. How do you teach people, or how do you feel the moment? You know, how do you become one with the song to just express it in just a heartfelt way?
Well, in my case, I live the music. I'm that old, Tracy.
You're 21, right? 21. That's the answer.
50, but I was back there when, and my whole life, I mean, my life revolved around the music, Porky Chadwick played in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. and I owned those songs. I don't know if many girls did this. I don't know. I went to a Catholic girls' school, and I know nobody, I don't think, was into it like I was, you know. And I never dreamed that I would be a singer. I always wanted to be an actress. But Henry, my husband, also loved the music so much, and he does not sing. He's a businessman. He's a very smart businessman. But when we dated, we'd drive around in the car, and he'd say, "Okay, Suze, sing. I think it's going to work out fine. I'll be Ike, and you be Tina."
There you go, right?
I'd say, "Darling, it's time
yes,
to
dear.
Get next to me." And he'd go, "That was my plan from the very beginning." You know. But we both love the music, so this is how I do. And I used to coach. I was a high school teacher at Shenley High School in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. and we would have the Kelly Awards when they would do musical theater. So I would coach the kids when they did Leader of the Pack, you know, shows like that. Mm-hmm. And it was so much fun to convey what they were supposed to sound like, because these kids sounded like modern singers. They did all the runs and all this stuff. I said, "No, it's maybe hard for you, but you have to sing these notes straight and hold these notes, you know." So that was fun describing to people. But
that's an interesting point that you bring up, because I don't want to say kids these days, but everybody seems to be younger than I am too nowadays. But the kids seem to learn one way, and they mm-hmm. don't seem to have, well, I don't know, maybe you would know, do they know different styles enough? Do they get taught these different styles and different...
If they're like my 2.5-year-old granddaughter who sings "Oh My Angel,"
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, right?
So if they've been indoctrinated by an older family member or friend, that makes the difference. But not everybody's heard the music. But some happen upon it. You know, our daughter is an art teacher, and one day she has an art club after school, and she was playing some music, and Frankie Lyman came on singing "Why Do Fools," and this little 8-year-old girl said, "Oh, I love Frankie Lyman," and she said, "No, that's Lyman." She said, "How do you know that song?" And she said, "My grandma plays it around the house."
Yeah, I love it.
So if you're familiar through someone else, it makes a big difference. Yeah.
Well, Tracy, when Susan said she grew up with the music, mm-hmm. it's important to point out that Susan mm-hmm. and Ron and Sydney, who've been together as members of Pure Gold, they're celebrating, congratulations, their 40th anniversary this year. This will be an upcoming. So when she says that she lived the music, she has lived it, breathed it, and sung it here in the Pittsburgh area 40 years. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And incidentally, Sydney and Ron and I came from totally different backgrounds, but they are my brothers through music, you know, and we've been friends for all these years. So we all had the same love and appreciation for this music, even though we came from totally disparate backgrounds.
Yeah, and that's what puts a great musical group together, are all the backgrounds and the stories that come from. Tanglewood, February 10th is the big day for Pure
Gold,
right?
That's the date for Pure Gold.
That's right. Chef, where's the food?
Oh.
I just thought right now, I went, wait, Chef George is here. He always has wonderful, wonderful food. Are you having food the night of...
We're having food that night. We're having stuffed steak, fresh red skin potatoes, green beans, coleslaw, rolls, butter, and dessert. Mm-mm. And the tickets are $35. Simply call to Tanglewood and get your reservation in.
Now, I know you love food, but you love music and entertainment just as much. And it's great to see Tanglewood becoming like this entertainment center, if you will, of Butler.
That's what we're trying to do, make it an entertainment center. Tanglewood would like to be something for everyone, a place for all reasons. It's on my business card. We do everything.
Yeah, so it's a great place to be able to listen and dance. You have a nice dance floor there. And how do you enjoy that? You've got to enjoy that as a singer when people really get into the music. I mean, there are audiences that just sit there and clap, but then there are audiences that get up and dance and enjoy themselves.
Well, I understand that some groups prefer for people not to dance. They think it's interruptive. But we love for people to get up and dance, because this music makes you want to dance, first of all. And it gives us some... Don't you think we get tired of singing these same songs over and over again, Tracy? It gives us something to look at, you know? And it's, our whole goal is for people to have a good time and feel like they were 16. They're 16 again.
Sure.
And it's just wonderful to see people up and dancing. Yeah. But if they prefer not to dance, they can sit and enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Too.
They can mm-hmm. clap as well, too. So, Bill, you love this music just as much. And I love to hear your perspective, because we have the performers and we have this music lover sitting right here.
Well, I met Chef George about 3.5 years ago, and we started talking about doo-wop. And to a lot of people, unless you've been around for many, many years, you know, what's doo-wop?
Mm-hmm.
And I explained to Chef George that a lot of the people that come to the Tanglewood were born during the doo-wop era. And we started having at the Tanglewood about 3.5 years ago, doo-wop as entertainment, quality entertainment. And as far as Pure Gold goes, I think people really need to understand the numbers. Pure Gold is not just some local Pittsburgh group. When you put Pure Gold on the screen and look at how they've interacted over the last 40 years in the entertainment building, entertainment business, they've performed on PBS for over 30 million people who've stood up in their living rooms and clapped after literally almost every song because the songs are that good. And they have basically performed for over 30 million people worldwide. 100,000 people here in Pittsburgh roared for Pure Gold as they took the stage with Chuck Berry to do a 4th of July celebration. Basically, about 500 or 600 people were crowded into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when Pure Gold performed there. And they've opened for over 100 major recording acts over their 40-year career they've shared the stage with. So when you understand the numbers, and then we translate it over here to Butler, Pennsylvania, only 300 people are going to be able to see them at the Tanglewood that night. All right, that's 150 couples. All right, and we're already about 50% sold out.
Okay, so yeah.
So if they're listening to the radio right now, there's about 75 couples that can go to that show here at the Tanglewood. So if you're listening to the radio, I would suggest that you call the Tanglewood right now and get your tickets before they're sold out, because Pure Gold coming to Butler is a wonderful award for guys that are coming to the Tanglewood to see the quality entertainment. So I congratulate Chef George for bringing in Pure Gold, but I can't wait. I have my tickets, and my wife and I are going to be there bright and early to watch that show.
That's right. And so, folks, if you want to get your tickets, the number for tickets is 724-287-0021. So it's 724-287-0021. $35 includes the buffet dinner that we were just talking about with Chef George. So it's a BYOB, so that's always nice. And then doors will open at 6 o'clock. Dinner will be at 7, and then the show will be 8 to 10. And I like here what it says, with breaks. You know, it's just because I've been performing for so long. You need a break after a while,
just
you know.
Just a
moment, catch your breath, you know, get a drink, and be able to do that. So, of course, Tanglewood Center right in Lindora. This, again, will be on Saturday, February 10th, and so we're almost there, because what you said, 7? I'm glad you broke down the numbers, Bill.
I thought he was an accountant.
I know. He needs to be in my back pocket for music and for my finances.
I was impressed with myself when you gave those numbers, Bill. Thank you. Thank you, Chef George, for bringing us in. We're thrilled.
Thank you, yes, and what a way to celebrate Valentine's Day. Great food, entertainment. Go with your friends.
Wonderful.
Bring your own
people.
Bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have a good time and enjoy Pure Gold's music.
That's right.
You got to promise me that one of the songs you'll sing that night is Shamalama Ding Dong. You guys do a great
We'll see. We'll see about that.
I love that song.
So many tunes, so little time.
See, and that's got to be hard, I have to say, because
our repertoire is enormous, so it's hard to whittle it down to, you know. And we were going to throw, I guess, a few more extra ballads in. Henry told us to, because it's Valentine's Day dance.
Okay.
You know, so we got to make it mushy.
So how do you decide? Who decides?
I decide.
You decide, okay? How do
I'm
you
decide?
I'm
the boss of the world, Tracy.
We live in your world. We just got to realize that, right? That's right. We'll come around.
No, I'm the only one who will do it. So I usually coordinate the sets and run it by the guys to get their approval.
Okay.
And see if there's anything they don't want to do, or if they prefer to add something to it. And Henry DeLuca, who we call the Ayatollah Rock and Rolla, he always puts his 2 cents in, too, because he has good taste in music, and he knows what the people like. So,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, Henry, you just got done with the PBS special, you said?
Yes, and it's being edited right now, and will be out in March nationwide. And you're likely going to see Pure Gold on there singing Daddy's Home, but along with a lot of great talent, a lot of great young talent, plus the originals. It's really going to be a good show. So, as has been pointed out here, you're going to see an act on February 10th that has been on national television many, many times, and been all over the place. It's just wonderful, and they're going to be right here in Butler, and we love Butler. We've played Pure Gold's played a number of times, many times in Butler, a lot of times for the firemen right over here at the school, but also St. Michael's way back.
With Al Monfrey.
Al Monfrey.
Our good friend Guy Travaglio brought us in years ago.
Oh, my.
We love him, yeah.
Yeah.
And we have friends, Patsy and Mickey Zachariah. They were terrific, too. They were friends with Al Monfrey.
Guy brought the group in when they were a cappella, and he brought them to Armco Park to perform, and he brought them into Butler several times. And what a guy is, huh?
Yeah, right?
We've been at Pullman Park, too. We did an oldie show there recently.
Yes. Just a few years ago.
Yeah, just a few years ago.
2014, I believe.
Yeah.
Will you guys be surprising us with maybe an a cappella tune at your performance?
We'll have to look into that.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm always open to suggestions, Bill. Thank you.
Well, I have to tell you, our audience heard you years ago when you first started singing a cappella. Mm-hmm. And you can't dance to a cappella because there's no music, all right? And you're almost forced by the times to add some music so that people can get up and dance. But you guys did a cappella like nobody else
Thank
did
you.
It.
Well,
and
you
still do.
We started a cappella because we couldn't afford a band. And then after 3 years of that and a lot of success, Henry thought, the businessman said, you know, we could be a lot more marketable if we got a band. So then we started doing country club jobs and corporate parties and things like that. But our heart is still with a cappella. In fact, we did a whole a cappella album for a label out of Philadelphia. And it's when you listen to it, sometimes it's hard to believe there aren't instruments back there because Sidney's bass is so, you know, it carries that
the whole bottom of
the
rhythm section. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does it take more practice to get a cappella down because you don't have the instruments behind you?
No, because we've been together for so long, we all know where the other is supposed to be, or we can go many different places, you know, because I sing lower than the guys, most of them, and they sing higher than I do, so we can interchange
that's a nice mix, right?
Easily. But it was actually hard to sing with a band once, you know, after being a cappella for 3 years. It was a little distracting at first because all we had was the human voice to refer to, you know, so it was funny. It was
Would awesome. You recommend somebody if they're in a band to start that way? Is it better to go with no music and then add the music? Do you get too dependent on the instruments behind you?
It depends on
some people, not meaning you, but
it depends on how good one's voice is.
Okay.
You know, I mean, nowadays, and I hate to sound like the old codger again, but now they have autocorrect. People were out there singing and they have machines that fix their notes, you know, from, as they say on The Voice and all those shows, too pitchy. But to sing a cappella, it's nothing but the human voice, so you have to be pretty much on.
Yeah, that's powerful.
And the rehearsals are a cappella.
Our rehearsals are always a cappella, so we're hearing each other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I have a very powerful, they used to tell me I had Ethel Merman lungs. So when I sing a lead at rehearsal, I go way to the other end of the room so they can hear their harmonies and check where they're supposed to be, because nobody reads music. We're not trained musicians that way, you know? I mean, I do because I played piano when I was little, but we don't read any of the music. We listen to a record and say, okay, I'm going to go here, you go there, and we just put it together.
The exciting part is that you're going to have some albums. You guys have cut several CDs.
Six, yeah.
Yeah, from 1991 all the way up to the present.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing about it is people are going to be able to pick up those CDs at the shows and or at this show, and they'll be able to hear the quality sounds of Pure Gold either a cappella or with the band, because the albums will be available.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, absolutely. Pat, do we need to take a break for you for just a moment? All right, so we're going to get some lottery numbers in, and then we'll take a short break. We'll come back, finish out the show. I'm Tracy Morgan, in for Dave Mularkey with It's Your Turn.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 32, 32. The pick 3 is 343, 343. The pick 4, 9200, 9200. The pick 5, 69296. The wild ball for each of those is 1. And the treasure hunt, 6, 14, 25, 26, and 28. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $30,000.
Welcome back to the show. Tracy Morgan in with you. Only about 6 minutes left. Can you stay for like 2 more hours?
Oh, thank you.
I'd love for it.
It's
you can give
fun.
Us a preview.
Thank you.
It's been a lot of fun. So I'm here in for Dave. Dave should be back on Wednesday. So you can look forward to his return on Wednesday. We'll be with you again tomorrow. But right now, we have Pure Gold in the studio. Susan, at least, the lead singer there for Pure Gold, brought along her husband. He has produced many of great shows on PBS, or for PBS, I should say. Chef George, always in, always love talking to you. And he's, of course, hosting the big event on February 10th. Where Pure Gold will be playing, and Bill Reichhardt is with us too. Can we call you a music master?
Master is a little overdoing.
All right.
Music maestro is
maestro,
about right.
Maestro, okay. I'll promote you if you'd like.
Doo-wop fan is,
doo-wop
is my
fan.
Best.
And you spent a lot of time researching music, haven't you?
Well, I've been singing doo-wop for the last 55 years, and I've sung for the last 50. I met my wife as we were talking over at lunch at a doo-wop show, at an oldie show. But back then, it wasn't oldies.
No,
it was
the
music
current,
of the time.
Absolutely.
But I was telling Susan, I was on stage singing, and my wife was in the front row. I don't know what got into me. I looked down. I saw this beautiful young lady lipping the words, knowing the words to the music. And I just knelt down and sang the song to her, and we've been together now. Ever since.
It's history.
Bill, you showed me your picture. I know what got into you.
Somebody said to me, how'd you marry such a pretty girl? Oh, she's beautiful. I said, the lead singer always got the pretty girl.
There you go, right?
Handsome couple.
Well, I'm glad you're here to share with us. Chef, what are you planning in the future, too? What can we look forward to in 2018?
Oh, we have some more bands coming in. I got a local band coming in. Called Freedom Child. They're all local folks, and they're going to be coming in the following month after Pure Gold.
Mm-hmm.
But Tanglewood is more than just an entertainment center. I want you to know that Tanglewood raises money for things in the community, trying to put them in a limelight. We've raised money twice for the canines of the police force. We've worked for Alzheimer's. We've worked for Wounded Warriors and cancer. We are a member of the Chamber of Commerce. We are a member of Travel and Tourism. And we do want to be involved in the community. We've had a lot of shows down there, and we plan on having a lot more. And our pork chop dinner is infamous.
Absolutely. That's all I hear about. I talked to Tyler here in the building, and I said, oh, Chef George. And he said, did you hear about the pork chops? It's like what we talk about in the office when your name comes up, or the pork chops.
And we have the big band doo-wop band from Pittsburgh is coming in May. That's going to be probably turn into a fundraiser for wreaths across America. That's a very promotable thing. Ladies and gentlemen get together and put wreaths on all the soldiers' graves. So I'm going to try to run this and promote money for that cause.
I know we'll probably talk to you more about that when it comes around. But when you're talking about wreaths across America, is there a traveling group of women, or does that organization get women in specific areas for that specific
area? It's nationwide. There's segments of them all over the country. The lady in charge of the whole thing comes from Maine somewhere, and I called her last week. She's going to put somebody local in touch with me so I can get their group involved.
Oh,
it's
great.
Always good to have promoters outside our building promoting for our cause.
Do you ever get to enjoy your shows? Because you have Pure Gold sitting yet you're cooking and you're preparing everything.
I usually watch from the kitchen window.
Dancing from the kitchen window, right?
Yeah, sometimes they catch me.
That's right. Well, Bill, thank you for coming in. Chef George, thank you very much for coming in. Just final thoughts from both of you, Susan, Henry. Thank you very much for being here. And just give us your final thoughts of coming to the show.
Thank you for allowing us on your show. And thank you to Chef George for all he does. And thank you, Bill, for your knowledge and your your musical wisdom. And we sure hope that we pack the place on February 10th. Thank you so much.
Again, tickets. Yeah, go ahead.
And I thank everyone and want to make sure that you all know 724-287-0021.
Thank you.
That's the number to call for tickets.
Mm-hmm. All right, $35. It includes a buffet dinner. It's a BYOB show. Doors are going to open at 6 o'clock, dinner at 7, and then the big show at 8 o'clock. So again, 724-287-0021. And I wish we could go through all those numbers again that Bill threw out there, but we're talking about 75-ish couples or individuals? What did you say again?
75 couples left.
Okay, so about if you're going couples, it'd be about 75 couples left. That's what they have room for right now. So get on it. Get the tickets. Thank you all for coming in.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you so much, Tracy.
Folks, we're pretty much out of time. I was going to say take a break and come back, but we have to hit news here in just about a minute or so. So I will see you tomorrow. Again, Wednesday is the big day for Dave's return, and he can talk to you at that time. But Thanks for joining us. I'm Tracy Morgan. Have a great day.
Plan to join us on Saturday, February 17th for WISR's Men Who Cook Dinner Dance to benefit the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. This fun event, presented by WISR Radio and Armstrong, is back for its second year with more local businessmen and community leaders vying for the coveted Golden Fork Award. This event's unique format features each man offering samples of his specialty to attendees in the hopes of earning their vote for the best dish. Other activities include music and dancing with DJ Pat Gallagher and a basket raffle that benefits the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. Guests are also encouraged to bring a non-perishable food item to donate to the food bank. Tickets for this BYOB event are just $20. Complete details and tickets are available at butlerradio.com.
It's up-to-the-minute local, national, and world news from WISR Butler, Pennsylvania, and the CBS Radio News Network.
Hi, this is Pat.